Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 8 through 16, and then we're going to go into 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. We're going to tie these two together today. God is going to show us some things from His Word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks, and called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And so she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. What's the next one? There we go. You know, it's kind of confusing because we're going to another chapter, and now it's got me confused. Okay, is that right? No, there we go. Come on, we're going to get there. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7. That's the next one we're going to go to today. Maybe we're not. No. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Let's pray. I'm not going to worry about it. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. And Lord, I pray today as I do my best to communicate the word of God to your people, that you would just give us the hearts to receive and to hear your word, Lord God, through our ears, that we may be transformed into the people that you desire for us to be. Lord, there's miracles that will be released to us today as we trust in you for the word to be divided in our hearts. Thank you for all that you're about to do. We give all glory and honor and praise to you. In the powerful name of Jesus and all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Actually, there's two stories about two different widows. The other one is that we'll get to in just a moment is in 2 Kings chapter 4. Both of these women had something in common. They were both widows. Both of them were being confronted by situations that were beyond what you would believe. And I want to talk to some people here today that are in a situation where you actually absolutely need a miracle. Anybody like that? Wave your hand at me. Don't be shy. Wave your hand up high if you really want the miracle. And so the deal was that both of them, these ladies, were suffering with the fact they were widows. They're kind of been left behind. But the striking similarity, both of them were dealing with the urgency of a need, and their future was in grave jeopardy. Because if God didn't intervene, what's going to happen? Here's the three questions we'll talk about, then we'll dive into this. Number one, are you ready to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you and to make decisions that would seem far too risky or even foolish? Because as the prophet comes along, would you fix me a little something with the last little bit that you have first? I'm about to die. You got the nerve to come to me and ask to take the last little bit for first? I don't think so. Let's move on to the next question or next observation. Do you struggle between what seems logical and practical versus what you believe you heard from the Lord? And I think most of us do that because you're thinking, God couldn't possibly be asking me to do this. There's just no way, no how. Or how about this? Can your faith embrace the reality that when you are down to nothing, Jesus may be up to something great? Because some of you that raised your hands a few moments ago that said you need a miracle, I believe some of you are at the threshold of absolutely nothing. You see nothing in sight. You see there's no way out of the situation, but God's going to prove you absolutely wrong. Because he's going to do something that will defy all logic, defy all the things you've ever known, and he'll impart those things to your life if you just allow your faith to be connected with this message today. Well, overcoming doubt, when there appears to be a dead end, got back to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. I believe they have that one ready for us. Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first." I want to tell you that one of the greatest reasons why we have problems is we do not put God first.
Amen.
Oh, I get a better amen than that.
Amen.
Because it's true. We don't put God first. We think of him after everything else has fallen apart. But the idea behind this, he says, go make this thing for me first and make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. And that seems totally illogical. It seems absolutely ridiculous. And first of all, the gall of someone to even say that to you in your time of need. Let me give you a little bit of history about what's going on. Elijah made a prophecy. He says, there shall be no more rain that happens in this country. Matter of fact, he just call it a curse, whatever you want to, on the land. He says, it will not rain until the next time I say it's going to rain. That's pretty powerful. And so he's coming in, but here's the part that you will love about this story. The Lord says, and the Lord says, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. And God has commanded this widow to provide for a person who's a troublemaker. There's no rain, there's no produce, there's no flour, because, hey, Elijah, you're the one that called this one, and there's nothing's happening. It's your fault. And then you come demanding, make me a cake. I got some for you. It ain't a cake. Well, when our doubt only leads you to despair, we must choose to believe God's faithfulness. When you just don't get it, what about this? The common thread for both stories we're going to talk about, we haven't got to the second one yet, but it's a similar situation. But the idea behind it is that it comes to a place where you just don't have anything, but God's demanding something from you. Well, the Lord will often call upon people who believe that their value and worth are directly related to their financial or personal circumstances. And some of you are like that. And I've been that way as well. Many of you, your health and well-being and the way that you function is when you can log on and find out how much is left in the bank account. Don't pretend like you don't do that, because you do. And if there's some extra expense happens to come along, then all of a sudden there's this big lull in there. All of a sudden we begin to panic. I'm not going to get down that far, but I will tell you this much. Some people may feel they have been unfairly targeted by adversity. Maybe that's you. Well, the interesting thing about this story, it unravels, because what we want to tell you is that God is about to do some miraculous things in our lives. And I had one particular subject for this particular message, and it was basically this: faith to believe God for God's fullness. But I want to talk to, the Lord said, change it to this: man-made miracles. Well, doesn't that sound exciting? But really, If you really look at it from the standpoint, every miracle that was involved, especially with Jesus, the very first miracle he performed, involved the obedience of man for the manifestation to come forth. The miracle that he turned water into wine, and it was his mother that says, "And whatever he tells you to do, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, do it." If you want a miracle in your life, the only way it's going to happen is whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. It may not make sense. You're thinking, what? The last bit of meal I'm going to make, okay, you and put me first? That's how God works. It's going to be an amazing thing for us to come to that conclusion. Well, faith is not the absence of doubt. That means faith is the means to overcome doubt by taking action that may seem contrary to reason or common sense. It doesn't make sense. You go make him a cake first, and you're going to sit here and watch him eat cake? Well, how about this? God is often the author of situations that will challenge what we perceive to be our ability to respond correctly. And that means that doubt will often reinforce what looks like to be a dead end. Because as she's stirring up this cake, here's what the devil's saying. Go ahead, stir it up. You're a chump, you're a fool. And this man's going to come to your house, and I don't know whether she knew about who Elijah was or not. Maybe she did. And it's all the more reason not to do it. Well, consider this. Elijah is asking a widow to feed him with the last bit of sustenance that she has, even though her food shortage is a result of something he initially caused to happen. Oh, that really adds to the confusion. I got to tell you a story. I will give you this particular story. And this happens to us in our lives. There will be people that come into our lives that will cause, inflict pain upon us that we weren't really ready for. Matter of fact, we didn't know it would surface at any particular time. And I take this little piece from my life just to use as an illustration, and it's nothing like what a great guy I am, because that's not the deal. But this last week, couple days ago, I had a procedure. The procedure that nobody likes to have. Do I need charts and graphs, or shall I just leave it? But anyway, I went in for the procedure that you have to prep for 2 days in advance. Are you getting my drift? Okay. Those of you who haven't had the procedure, oh, you will at some point. But I found myself in a situation, and I was just, you know, sitting there waiting for them to do the thing, put the IV thing in there. They went fishing about 5 times trying to find a vein. Oh, it was exciting. And then something happened. I was looking at this gentleman, he's looking at me. He says, "I know who you are." I said, "You do?" Check this out. This was a friend of mine in grade school I had not seen for 60 years. He was in my grade school, Abernathy Grade School. He says, "My name's Randy Johnson." And all of a sudden, flashback happened. Let me tell you the story. Randy Johnson was this great guy. We used to play softball together, this type of thing. But something happened. And I want to talk to you folks about reality of what things can happen in your life that will throw you back to a particular place where you forget how to trust or this type of thing. You've just been debilitated by some people that you've logged in your mind as, this person is out to destroy me, or whatever it was. Anyway, we're really close friends. One day he comes to school, they're going to have a birthday party for him, this type of thing. He says, "I need to tell you something. My mom said you can't come over to my house because you're black. So you can't come to my birthday party." And that's the last thing I remember he said to me 60 years ago. There's a reason why I said that. This is not about racism, but it's about things that leave you kind of in suspense. And for 60 years, and various times it would cross my mind, and it wasn't the fact that I was bitter behind it, because my mother was an amazing woman. She says, you know, she says, "People may have a different estimation of who you are, but don't let someone else tell you what your value is. Jesus tells you what your value is." Yes, he did. She did. She was amazing. So there was no bitterness. But, you know, you can imagine, I wonder what happened. Let me tell you what. If you wait long enough, God will turn things around. Because now he's the head nurse, and guess who's serving who? Hello. But I want to take you to that place where some of you are stuck. You're stuck in that place where someone did something to you and you have moved a least bit forward because the devil's holding you hostage to circumstances that have happened in your life that have been long gone. But I'm here to tell you today, if God's going to work a miracle in your life, you're going to have to let go of some stuff that happened a long time ago. Let me tell you how this works. You may have been in a bad marriage where your husband divorced you. You may be in a bad situation where someone just did all these terrible things for you. But in order for God to work his miracle in your life, you need to let go of that so God can do what he wants to do today. Amen. But if I had allowed bitterness to take hold of me, I'd say, Randy Johnson going to put something in my mouth? No, he's not. Get him out of here. You get my point? Is that God can do things in your life and let him change it for you. The miracle is everything went great. This time, he treated me just so royal. We talked about these different things. The issue that happened 60 years ago was never even brought up. That's when you know the Holy Spirit's working in your life. Let me bring it into the story of what's happening right now. So here's this lady. Elijah is asking widows to feed him. And the faith in the word of God can only be tested when there appears to be risk involved. Well, that means that when we submit what we know and give it to the Lord, based upon his promises, we can never lose. Do you know why some of us cannot have miracles happen in our life? Because you are stuck in that particular place where you don't trust people anymore. You don't trust, you say, well, you don't trust people. Well, in that, you don't trust God. But here's this woman, she said, so here comes this prophet, fix me a cake, put yourself last, doesn't make sense. Well, there's an obedience, because here's a part that you may have missed in this whole part here. And he says, arise, go to Zarephath and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. God had already set her up to do what would seem to be impossible. He says, I have commanded. The Holy Spirit, God is able to put something in you that is beyond your ability to do on your own. The command of the Lord is within you to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to be the right person. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to do something today, your miracle is going to happen. But it never would have happened unless she did it the way God told her to do it. Some of you will never inherit the miracle of God because you're trying to process it through your own eyes, your own circumstances. Well, here we go. Faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's the means by which to overcome it. Doubt can seem to be reasonable when you are facing uncertainty. And so, as this thing unfolds, so she goes in there and she makes this particular cake, and she brings it to him, and then here comes the prophecy. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Several of you sitting in this room right now need a miracle from God today. When I asked that a few moments ago, somebody said, yeah, I need a miracle. Yeah, I need something to happen in my life. But you said it with kind of this apprehension. Yeah, I need a miracle, but it's not going to happen. Then why even tell me about it? Because miracles are the things that God does where there's a hope within it that you're willing to do what God tells you to do, even when it doesn't make sense. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He drives us to that particular place where we're willing to submit to what God is doing. Well, that being the case, the promise of provision for our future is based upon faithfulness that we have experienced in our past. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why some of us suffer is that we've known specific times God told us what to do, and we just ignored it. Or I've ignored it. You didn't. I did. But today, things are going to be different. Well, the widow chose to share what she thought was going to be her last meal toward a promise for future provision. Because when Elijah provoked Moses, he says, you know, bring me a little water in a cup. Well, first thing is, there's an absence of water there anyway. Water at that particular point was very much treasured because it hadn't rained since Lord knows when. So bring me a little water in a cup. And she explains it and says, you know, I was getting ready to have my last meal. It's about over. But still the man presses, bring me a little water. Oh, and by the way, make me something to eat. Here's the thing I want to help some of you sitting right here. Is there are things that God has told you to do that really didn't make sense, but when you will believe God rather than your emotions and rather than things are going on inside you that it doesn't make sense, the miracle happens then. The miracle happens then. Because then the word of the Lord is released to your life and the situation becomes clear. He says, the bin of flour, the oil jar shall not fail. And she went away and she did according to the word of the Lord, and her household ate for many days. Well, I got to hasten on because I want to finish the other half of the story we didn't get a chance to read. I'm going to go over to 2 Kings. Do you have that particular scripture now, Daryl? The 2 Kings one. Did you find it up there? Hey, Daryl. Yay! All right, we're going to read through this. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Take to the next verse. You guys read. So, okay, stop right there, and then we'll get into the rest of this. How do you get from nothing to something? I want to talk to you about the things you've discounted as nothing that's really something. It's like people, like kids say, my room is clean all except. Same principle. I have nothing in the house but oil, this little jar of oil. There are things that you have discounted in your life as nothing that God wants to use for his glory. But you've kind of overlooked it. Well, what's God going to do with that? Go on to verse 3. Go ahead and read that one. Woo! Ever have God tell you to do something that makes absolutely no sense? Oh, just three of you. Okay, that's fine. Go gather containers? Why? The nothing that you said you didn't have except for is about to be the resource that's going to save your life. The things that you've discounted in your life, oh, that's really nothing. God is about to blow on it with the wind of his provision and to give you sustenance beyond what you can say. But the first response was nothing but a jar of oil. Our definition of nothing is not the same as the Lord sees as far as significance. There are things in your life you've discounted as, oh, yeah, everybody's got that. No, they don't. Furthermore, we often discount the things that are very significant and say they're not worth bothering with, but we've totally missed what God's trying to say. What about this? You remember that little boy? They got 5,000 people to feed. We go out in the crowd and find, well, two fish and five loaves of bread. And here's what the prophet said. I didn't say the prophet. One of the disciples said, well, yeah, we got two fish, five loaves of bread. But what are these among so many? You're so busy looking at the need, you haven't looked at the provision. And you haven't looked at the provider who can take the provision and make anything he wants out of it. I want your faith to rise up to a level now where you can see things from God's perspective and not from yours. Because we've discounted and we've tried to disprove what God's saying. Well, in order to receive a miracle that God has in mind, we will have to do something that will appear foolish from the very beginning. Our faith will determine our future. What does that mean? It means we must boldly confront our need with faith to borrow what we believe we want to be, to want our future to look like. I think probably after her sons go out and start gathering these jars, they say, I don't really know. I'm just going to do what God says anyway. We'll gather all these jars together. But here's a part that I think is going to be very impacting for all of us when God begins to work, does his work in our life. So the Spirit desires for us to shut the door of doubt and distraction toward the work that the Lord is about to do in our lives. Here we go. Let's read the next verse, verse 4. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, put the candle in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. We need to shut the door on all of those things that are keeping you from believing God for his provision. And so he says, when you've got all these vessels here, shut the door. All the things of the people coming, this is so foolish. What have you got all these things in here for? I don't know why you were so stupid to get all these vessels in. That's the reason why you are not any further on in your relationship with Jesus, because you've been listening to what the crowd has to say. I want you to shut out all the naysayers. Shut out all the people that says, oh, you've lost your mind. And get in there with Jesus and watch what he's going to provide. The Spirit desires for us to shut the door of doubt, of distractions toward the work that he's about to do in our lives. Here we go. When you close the door and begin to pour, we will experience something that God has reserved for those who obey him. Just read the next verse here. Here we go. You know where she poured it from? That one little jar of oil that she thought wasn't anything. All of the provision came from that one little, and she's bring another vessel. She kept on pouring. That one thing you were about to throw away, that one thing you thought was nothing, God said, bring another vessel. I'm going to use that which you thought was nothing. Let me pour another one. Keep on pouring. Keep on pouring. Keep on pouring. Every time you pour a little bit more from that vessel, you just get in the devil's face. You thought I didn't have nothing, but God has given me everything. You keep on pouring, and you keep on pouring, and you keep on pouring. God wants us to get to that particular place where we believe God. Go to the next verse, please. What? Let me take you to the very front of this situation. This was a desperate situation because back in the day of her time, it was perfectly legal for a person to take your children from you as ransom or hostage for a debt that was owed. The woman's husband was dead. And so as to be an indentured servant to the speaker, she was by obligation to give up her sons to take care of the debt. Do you know what the devil's after? The most precious thing in your life to destroy you. And you have no defense. You're saying, what am I going to do? And all I've got is this little bottle of oil. Let me finish this up and then we're going to close this out. The next verse, please. I think. Was that the last one? It could have been. It's fine. Let me finish this. Our miracles are often hidden in things that we overlook. And it simply means this. When it seems to be a little, it's really a lot. Little becomes much when God is in it. And so the eye behind it is we must allow the Lord to open our eyes to the things that we would naturally overlook. Now, we will experience God's fullness when we are obedient in the things he's commanded. First thing is, the more you pour out, the more he flows through you. Little bottle of oil here. I know some of you in the back cannot see this. This little small bottle here, there's just a little bit of oil in there. But you know what? It doesn't take a whole lot when the anointing of God's in the house. And so that being the case, the second part is the pour out what you don't, what you thought would didn't, or that you didn't have enough of. You say, well, the Lord asked me, so he says, I want you to take this little bottle of oil, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray over it, and I'm going to leave it here at the altar. And what you get to do is you get to come to the altar, open the top, anoint yourself, and believe God's going to work a miracle on you. I'm not going to touch anybody. He said, what? The faith is not in me. The faith is not in the oil. The faith is in God's promise to do what he said he would do. Amen. The oil is just an identity of what God can do, but we have faith and the confidence that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. So I'm going to place this on the altar in just a moment. But I'm going to conclude my thoughts so that the choir can make their way up here because I need to do a couple other things before we set this thing in motion. I want to tell you to pour when you do not feel that you have enough strength. Some of you have been worn out by circumstances and saying, oh God, it's going to work a miracle in my life. But you say that kind of, you're worn out in the particular fact because you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing's happened. But I'm here to tell you, this one little bottle of oil, you say, is going to do some miraculous things for people in this place because they believe in the Jesus who said, this is what I want to do for you. This is what I want to do in your life. Here's another little piece. God wants you to do what we were singing about a little while ago. I want every head bowed and every eye closed for the moment. I'm going to do something I believe that God wants us to do. I'm just going to set this up here. I'm not going to lay a hand on anybody. But I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit does his work in your life, in your heart, for whatever you need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, there are people who have come to the end of themselves. Their faith may be hindered. Their faith may be crippled by past failure or disappointment. But Lord, this little bottle, it's not even full. There's just a little element in the bottom of it. But Lord, you said just place it on the altar and allow people to come by faith and to receive the miracle of whatever it is. It doesn't matter whether it's sickness. It doesn't matter whether it's financial provision. It doesn't matter whether it's restoration of a family member. But Lord, you said this one little bottle, this one little thing, that you would do something miraculous. Lord, I want to pray especially for the person who just lost their courage, lost their strength, lost themselves in the midst of things where they thought you would never do or let things occur. Lord, things have happened in our lives years ago, just like my situation with Randy, that you shielded me from, and then all of a sudden you turn things around 60 years later. Some of us have been waiting for things to turn around, but Lord, today it's going to turn around because our faith and our confidence is in you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want, first of all, to invite to the altar today those people that says, you know what? Today I'm believing God to do something that only he can do in my life. The very first thing I would offer to you is salvation. If you're here today and you've fallen away from Jesus, if you're here today, you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, you know, Pastor, today's my day. I need to turn my life over to Jesus. Lift your hand up high if that's you. Just lift it up. Say, this is my day. This is the day I'm gonna surrender to Jesus. Go ahead and do that, because God can do that in your life. I'm looking all over this congregation. Yeah, I see you back there, yeah. Someone else says, I want to do that. You can put your hands down. Those of you that said, you know, I came to church today, and to be honest with you, Pastor, I was walking with Jesus, and things happened. A broken relationship, a broken marriage, a bout with addiction. It took me off the place, and so I feel so unworthy, but today somehow I want to renew my heart relationship with Jesus. I want him to touch my life again. I want to come to the altar today to experience the touch of God, to let that little bit of oil flow on me to change my life and my direction. If that's you, lift your hand and say, yep, I want to do that. I want to do that. Lift it up high where I can see it. Yeah, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I want to invite you in just a moment to be the first people to come down here. And there'll be other people here to pray with you. But remember, that little bottle of oil is nothing. It has a little atom thing on the top of it. Just take a little bit and just swipe it on your forehead and just put it back there for someone else. And when you come today, God's going to do something in your life. And the last group of folks I would say to, you want to come to the Lord today, you need a refreshing in your spirit to believe what seems to be unbelievable. That God can take the little bit that you have left and can use it for his glory. And so you just want to make a surrender to Jesus, saying, God, I'm going to put you first from this point on. It's no longer about me. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. If that's you, would you just kind of lift your hands for a moment so I can have, as you would come forward today and as you come by this altar, you say, I'm going to stop by here and I'm just going to let God touch my life in a very special way. Let's all stand to our feet. And those of you that made those significant decisions, you can start coming now. Start coming now. Just start.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.